But when we are unthankful, we become less appreciative of the important things in our lives. We take on an air of being critical, pointing to what is wrong about almost everything. And we begin to take things for granted. I'd like to give you an example of someone who fits this description from the Old Testament. It is Solomon, and kind of contrast how he started, and we know from reading the Bible how he ended up. Solomon forgot God, and in that process he became unthankful to God. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 10 tells us a little bit about Solomon, a personal testimony of his life, the kinds of things that he did. And I'll move further back in time in a little bit about how it all started for Solomon. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 10. Solomon says, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure." His wealth is legendary. The gold, the silver, the buildings, the trading that he did is kind of jumps out of history, and the traditions that we can read about in the Bible, and there are supporting histories of his great wealth, his fame, but he was one who basically had it all, didn't he? He could do anything that he wanted to do. Yet, brethren, he lost the kingdom of Israel that God had set him over. He turned and worshipped other gods, which God had warned him twice strictly in a dream, in both times appearing to God in a dream. And God warned him not to turn to other gods. He promised him that if you are faithful, you and your house will be sustained going forward forever. In this process of turning to other gods, he stopped being thankful to the true God for all that God had given to him at his birth. It is recorded of Solomon in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 24. The Lord loved him. And this is at his birth. And we know the history between his mother Bathsheba and David, and the child that Bathsheba first had died. He was an adulterous offspring between David and Bathsheba and could not fulfill what God had promised to David and his family. And yet here, this same woman, the same man, have this child, and of him, Solomon, it says that the Lord loved him. If we go forward now, as he grows, and he's 20, 21, 22, somewhere in that age when he takes over the reign of Israel, when David dies and he becomes king over Israel, God appeared to him in this one of the two dreams in which he talked to Solomon. And here's what God said to him. Excuse me. He said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" What an open-ended invitation on the part of God to Solomon, whom he loved. And Solomon had the correct answer, a humble answer, highly influenced, I'm sure, by his father and all the things that he had learned as he grew up in the court of David. But Solomon asked for wisdom. That wisdom, unfortunately, kind of went away when it came to his relationship with God. 1 Kings 10, verses 23 through 24. One more statement about Solomon. And I'm giving you a little bit of thumbnail sketch of his background so that we understand the awesome position that of all of the people who've lived that Solomon had before God. 1 Kings 10, verse 23, so King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Verse 24, now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom. And notice this concluding comment here, which God had put in his heart. What he had, the wisdom that he had, the great recognition that he received from all the world was because of the wisdom that God had given him. And indeed, and truly, Solomon had asked for this, but God went over and above in giving him this. And for a time, the nation of Israel prospered. When he turned, though, the nation was lost. It was divided and has not been reunited up until this point. Have another example, and it's from this that I take the title of my sermon, which is 1 in 10. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, and read about 10 lepers. Luke 17, verse 11, and this is my second example, a Samaritan. Now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And they couldn't walk up to him. They were prohibited from close contact. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them out of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus Christ, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Did I not help the 10? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, to this man, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. It seems that the healing by Jesus Christ was so well known, so popular, that people began to take those things for granted. Christ, it says in different parts of the New Testament, healed all diseases and everybody that came to him, all kinds of demon-possessed people, people with blindness and deafness, even restoring withered arms, raising the dead. And maybe there was no doubt great excitement, but there was nothing that moved them to take it to the next step and to follow Jesus Christ. And that step may have been taken by saying, thank you, Lord and Master, for healing me. Now I come to us, kind of a third example here. We, brethren, must always remember and never forget God. And the way we can do that is always day by day, throughout the day, live with a spirit of thankfulness for all that God has given us. It isn't what we don't have in our answered prayers, but what we do have and how God is dealing in our lives. I know it's human to get frustrated when we ask for very specific things and they're not just immediately before us. Like Solomon, God has chosen us. We are called to his salvation. Now, draw that analogy because I want us to understand that God has, in a sense, appeared to us, not in a dream, but in a calling. That puts us alongside some pretty famous, blessed people in the book of God, the Bible. We have the truth. When do we stop being thankful for that? It's when we become familiar with it, when it takes a back seat in our lives. We have our Savior, Jesus Christ. He only gave his eternal life. He put it aside, came down, and then died a physical death to be resurrected by the Father so that he could become our Savior. We are children of God. We have eternal life through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Those things we have. Solomon had wisdom. He turned aside from it. Also, like the Samaritan, Christ helps us. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20. Here's some admonition for us, things we should be doing, an approach, a lifestyle we should exist in and practice. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which we were doing by type as we stood to praise God and give him glory through singing from the hymnal. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when can we not be thankful? When do we kind of put that as a get-to item on our bucket list? No, it's a way we live day in and day out. What happens then, brethren, when we are thankful to God? Is there a return on that investment of our lives? Let's go to Malachi 3. There certainly is. And this is awesome. And if you can kind of take something away from the sermonette, what you're hearing today is balance the awesome calling against what's going on in the world right now, the knowledge that we have, the hope that's before us. We must not become unthankful. And I think that's one of the first things that tends to erode in a person's life. I've watched it as brethren, for one reason or the other, would take a detour off of the straight and true and proven path of worshiping God and become disgruntled, offended, and they get into that foul attitude where thankfulness cannot enter in. But if we do, if we are thankful, this is what God promises in Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord, and being thankful is one of the ways we can truly stand in awe and reverence of the great God. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, giving him the glory, the praise, the thanks through Jesus Christ. Verse 17, they shall be mine, he says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God, one who is thankful to God and one who is not thankful to God. Our challenge, brethren, is to make sure we're not in the mob, in the nine. who were not driven, not inspired to go back to Jesus Christ and thank him, but let us make an effort day in and day out to be one of the 10 by analogy.